O Christ, thou Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us and grant us thy peace. Amen. The text of God's word for our special meditation this evening is recorded in St. John's Gospel, chapter 19, reading in verses 31 through 37, the following words. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. And another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. This is our text. In the name of Jesus Christ, the precious Lamb of God, our dear Savior, beloved hearers of his wonderful word. All is quiet now on Calvary's Hill after a very strange day indeed. I was up there among the crowd and saw it firsthand. There was a triple crucifixion up there today. Two common thieves and an apparently unpopular, one might even say hated fella who had been accused of being the king of the Jews of all things. Strange, I say, because it seemed to be the Jews who had accused him of that. And the Jews had been hanging out all day around his cross, taunting him and abusing him. It was also a strangely dark day. Not cloudy, just dark, as if the sun was refusing to shine. It can't have been an eclipse of the sun because it's Passover time and we have a full moon. And then just a little while ago at about 3 o'clock, this Jesus of Nazareth said some very strange things from the cross. You could see that he had suffered something awful all day. But suddenly he screamed out that God had forsaken him, as if he was suffering the pains of hell. I wonder what he was going through on that cross. Then he seemed to gather all of his strength together to shout out one last declaration. It is finished. As if somehow he had accomplished something. And finally he uttered what sounded like a soft prayer, and then either passed out or died? We'll soon know, because the soldiers are getting ready to finish off the victims so that their bodies can be taken down from their crosses before the Passover Sabbath. The Jews wouldn't want those bodies to be left up there on that high holy day. Oh yes, there was some commotion up there on Calvary's Hill this afternoon. There was an earthquake. Had you heard about it? It was so amazing that huge boulders were broken in half. And people said that many graves nearby were opened and that people came out of them alive. The centurion in charge of the execution detail was especially impressed by all of this and said something to the effect that this man was the Son of God. Do you think? Were you there, by the way? Yes, you and I were there. We were there, all right, just as if we had been actual spectators and eyewitnesses standing at the foot of Jesus' cross. But as we have been learning over the last 5 weeks, we were not uninvolved spectators or witnesses or potential journalists. We were the cause of all this. We poor, wretched, miserable sinners for whom the Savior suffered, we were the cause. We were the cause of his anguish in the Garden of Gethsemane, where his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. We were the cause why Jesus was betrayed by a trusted friend, why he was sentenced to death, even though he was declared to be not guilty of anything, why he was cruelly scourged, because, as Pilate said, he had found no fault in him. We were the cause of his being nailed hand and foot to the accursed tree of the cross to suffer there the pains of hell for you and for me. But the gruesome scenario is far from over. And I ask you this evening, on the basis of the text before us from God's Word, another question concerning your spiritual whereabouts during Jesus' great passion. Were you there when they pierced his precious side? The shadows were lengthening on that first Good Friday afternoon, and there wasn't much time left until 6 o'clock in the evening, when work for the week would come to an end for the Jewish Sabbath. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation for that Sabbath day, that the bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day, the Passover Sabbath, was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. As usual, the Jews were concerned about the outward observance of their ordinances. To them, appearances were everything. and they didn't want anything to spoil their precious Passover Sabbath, especially dead bodies in plain view on crosses, which would defile them ceremonially. Their inward spiritual condition was of no concern to them. Just finish off those malefactors and get them out of here. And do it now. Now, as we know, crucifixion itself did not always kill its victims. Even if they had hung on crosses for days on end. And it was sometimes deemed necessary to hurry their end by beating them to death with clubs while they were still hanging on the cross. Jesus and the two thieves had been on the cross for just over 6 hours. And the Jews had that time problem to deal with. Sundown was fast approaching. So they asked Pilate to have his boys finish the job. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. Both of them were apparently still hanging on to life, if but by a thread. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. There was no need. Jesus was already dead. He had already laid down his life. He had already committed his soul into the keeping of his heavenly Father. And he had, as the scriptures tell us, yielded up the ghost. His soul had left his body in temporal death. Now remember that these fellows were professional executioners. This whole business was for them simply routine. And they had nothing to gain by going easy on somebody. In fact, if Jesus had still been alive on the cross, they would no doubt have broken his legs just as they broke the legs of the other two. For to have Jesus escape with his life would have meant capital punishment for them, for dereliction of duty. But they saw that he was dead already, drawing upon their years of experience in observing people dying on crosses. And they brake not his legs. Now, this was no happenstance, for these things were done. Our text says that the scriptures in Psalm 34, verse 20, for example, should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. Thus, even in death, Jesus to continue to fulfill the prophecies of the Old Testament scriptures concerning the Messiah, to prove to anybody who had his eyes open that he was indeed that Christ, the Son of the living God, and the Savior of the world. But merely having the soldiers see that Jesus was dead already was not enough for the centurion in charge. After all, he was responsible for certifying to Pontius Pilate, the governor, the clinical death of all three malefactors, including Jesus. And so one of the soldiers, with a spear, pierced Jesus' side. And forthwith, immediately, came there out blood and water. Separated blood solids and watery lymph. Positive medical evidence that death had indeed occurred. Now, this too was done not by some mere happenstance, but this had occurred that the scripture should be fulfilled. And this prophecy we read in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. They shall look upon me whom they have pierced. Said by Jesus himself in prophecy hundreds of years before his death. Now let us look on him as well, my dear fellow sinners, so that there is no question and no doubt as to what our answer must be when we are asked, were you there? Were you there when they pierced his precious side? For not only does that sight fill us with personal revulsion over our own sins and what they cost our precious Savior, who was wounded, after all, for our transgressions. But not only does this self-sacrificing love for us miserable sinners constrain us, force us to humble contrition and heartfelt gratitude for everything that he bore in our place, but you and I have a vested interest in witnessing the fact of Jesus' death. For St. Paul writes to the Romans, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Romans 5, verse 10. If Jesus had not died, we would not be reconciled to God. In his state of humiliation, in order to save us lost and condemned creatures, Christ became obedient unto death. Even the death of not being beaten to death with clubs, even the death of the cross, Philippians 2, verse 8. To give his life a ransom for many, that he should taste death for every man, Hebrews 2, verse 9. Remember that Jesus took part of our flesh and blood for a very specific purpose, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver us, who through fear of death were all our lifetime subject to bondage. Hebrews 2:15. For when we were without strength, when we couldn't do anything to save ourselves or to help ourselves, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. You don't just go out and lay down your life for just anybody. Yet peradventure, just perhaps for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Death was the price that God's justice demanded, the wages of sin. and Christ paid that price in full. And he that saw it bear record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true. This is John's certification of what he saw when he stood there at the foot of Jesus' cross with Mary, Jesus' mother. He saw Jesus die. He saw the soldiers certify it. He saw the centurion make note of it. He saw Jesus' side pierced and that bloody lymph pour from his side. He was there. This is his sworn testimony, confirmed by the Holy Spirit of God in his verbal inspiration of these words. This is a matter of objective record, John says in our text. Testimony that was corroborated by the Roman centurion himself in his report to Pilate, as St. Mark records it at the end of his 15th chapter. We heard it in the Passion history before. And this record is provided for us not to fill in the gaps, so to speak, not to fill in the question marks left by history, of which the historians still today seek to find answers. But this testimony, this record, is preserved for us, John says, that ye might believe. O therefore, my dearly beloved, fellow hearers of these precious words of our Savior's gospel, since you were there when they pierced his precious side, since you know this record to be true, since you have seen its truth demonstrated to you in the infallible, inerrant scriptures of our God and Lord, stand up boldly before the pilots of this world who ask, was he really dead already? Stand up to those who wonder whether Jesus really died at all and propose that swoon theory that Jesus was simply laid in the grave in a deep coma and then woke up on Easter morning and exited the grave, never to be seen again. Stand up for the truth to those who deny the vicarious atonement of Christ, who paid for our sins, who carried our sorrows, who was wounded for our transgressions, who was bruised for our iniquities, who died to save us. Stand up before all those who would rob you of the certainty of your redemption by Jesus Christ. And confess with Luther, I believe that Jesus Christ, true God begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature. Purchased and won me from all sin, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own. This you can confess, because you were there when they pierced his precious side. O Christ, thou Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us and grant us thy peace. Amen.